Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Probably True. For this episode, I am joined by the delightful CJ DeBarra, who is an expert on sex, ADHD, sex with ADHD, several other things, I'm sure. They've written a book about it and everything. Anyway, they're here to tell us a story about living a secret double life, being paid to masturbate by a national newspaper, and almost drowning in a sea of dick. There's a longer version of our chat available on patreon.com/probablytrue for anyone who wants to support the show. Just saying. Let's go! This is Probably True. Please be aware that the following contains strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
I never set out to be a sex writer. I don't think anybody sets out to be one, but that's how my life has gone. When I was growing up, like sex education, sex toys, sex anything, just was not talked about. You know, being gay wasn't talked about. I was taught by nuns. That really sets the tone for, you know, my childhood. When I got older, I moved to art college in Limerick. I went to work for a fairly well-known sex shop while I was there that I won't name just in case.
They want a plug, they can pay for it. Basically, yeah.
That's the thing.
Are more than welcome to sponsor the podcast, but they're not getting anything for free.
I came from a setting where I didn't really talk about sex. You didn't talk about periods, anything. You literally did not talk about anything body related or mental health or any of it. So all of a sudden, I'm in a retail setting where I have to start talking about dildos. My day to day is now like putting the price tag on anal beads. It's a high street sex shop, so you know we're not talking about the particular sort of like
niche stuff
that's out there. So obviously me being me, I had to go and find the niche stuff that was out there. But I would deliberately seek out like unusual or seedier or a little bit like off the beaten track kind of sex shops just to see how far can I push this? Like, what can I find? Like, what's out there? And at the same time, I got really used to being able to use these words when I'm talking to people as well. It was quite an education. Because it was your 9 to 5, you got a little bit sick of it. And it would literally be a case of if I see one more fucking dildo at this point, I'm going to scream, and not in a good way. So I moved to Dublin and I'd been running a blog at that point, and it was kind of about fashion, so really far removed from anything sex toy related. And I started to do a lot of like really personal journalism, particularly around gay marriage and civil partnership. So that'll tell you what kind of era that was that was going on. I had a dating column, actually, at that point. And I noticed that like the more I kind of wrote from my own personal life and my own personal perspective, the more that kind of stuff people really related to it. So that was really lovely.
The Irish Carrie Bradshaw. Nice.
And I couldn't help but wonder. it was Carrie Bradshaw. I am not. I was more of a Primark than Prada budget when it came to shoes. So I had to emigrate to England, as a lot of Irish people did around that time, because the country really wasn't in a good place. So straight away, what I found about English people was they were so much more open around talking about things. I know.
That's like, not something we hear often about English people. Oh, much more open about talking about sex and mental health and things.
Here's the thing. You actually had clubs. You had places to go. People were a lot more comfortable talking about things and using certain words. And I definitely noticed it was, I mean, to be fair, we are talking about somebody that grew up surrounded by nuns. So it was always going to be more open here. I started kind of the long struggle of trying to get into journalism in this country. And I mean, I took any job that I could get. Whatever put the food on the table and the rent paid, I wrote it. You know, some things that I'm proud of, some that I'm really not that proud of. But I spent 4 years working in the clay shooting sports industry. Yeah, I know. That's as weird as you can imagine.
That's fascinating. Chloe, carry on. Like, I'm just imagining that as like the clay shooting blog, as in like we threw a thing in the air, shot at it, missed it.
That was it.
Then we threw another thing and I shot at it and hit it. It's a good day.
That's the thing with journalism, like no 2 days are ever the same. So I went to work there and I'm very much a lefty vegan queer person with like a shaved head and tattoos. And I was among people that didn't vote the same way I did. I was among like people that were, you know, very confirmed meat eaters. And I got very used to having a secret life where I just didn't talk about veganism or like vegetarianism or just voting for outside of the Tories. And I learned to hide parts of myself very successfully, but it was a very strange 4 years. But it was great, actually, to be fair. I got kind of, I could see the appeal, because when you went to like shoots and things, it was so fast paced that it was actually quite fun. I came across a job for a CBD magazine. We didn't really cover like the sort of recreational side of cannabis and CBD, that kind of thing. We were more focused on health. It is very weird having a job where all of a sudden, like, you are being sent all of these products to try, because we did a lot of reviews. And at one point it crossed my mind. I was like, I cannot believe I get paid in my day job to sample CBD suppositories. Literally got sent a box of those, and they are the best thing in the world ever for period pain, I might add. Wow. But that's, I am not paid, and that is not a plug. It just literally, I think everybody should know that.
Fascinating. I love that as well. It's like, hello, here's some stuff to review. Stick it up your bum.
That was literally it. They were like, here you go. Have a nice evening. It's great having a job where they send you like lube to sample and they're just like, yeah, see what you think. Okay. I started to turn my attention to sex toys because the magazine was like, well, we want to kind of move into more wellnessy, that area more generally. I started to find the most incredible people doing the most bizarre and wonderful things. Like, I met one lady who built a vibrator that can record people's orgasms, so like show you like what stage your arousal is at through charts. And she sent me one. I was like, this is incredible. Like, she was like, oh, would you like to try it? I was like, you know, okay. If you don't mind.
I have this thing on my wrist that tracks my calories burnt, and I have an app that I use to track how much I eat and stuff like that, and how much sleep I get and how many steps I do, how many times I come a day and how hard and when and all that. That seems like an extra level of tracking that I'm not sure I need in my life.
I've written an entire book about how ADHD interferes with my sex life.
Same. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that was one thing that I really wanted to have a look at, because I wanted to be able to see if I could track what worked and what didn't work. So that was kind of why I got interested in that. I also met a person who runs a sex toy range in Nottingham, which is called Tentacles, and they make kind of alien shaped sex toys. As a non-binary person, I tend to veer away from toys that are sort of phallic shaped, you know, like the old school, like great honk and dick things. Not interested. I really want to try and find something that's as non-gendered as I possibly can.
Seen a dick, thank you. Not impressed. What else you got?
Thanks, but no. This was a whole new level of, like, you know, what was available out there. And there is an entire, not just an industry for alien shaped and like fantasy shaped and like sci-fi and horror and all of these things, not just an industry, but a community of people that like collect them and have them as like on their mantle. Well, maybe not their mantelpiece, but you get the idea. So that was definitely an eye-opening experience. I also ended up writing for The Independent around this time. When you think of The Independent, you kind of think of, like, you know, it's very newsy, straight-laced newspaper.
A respectable journal. Yes.
My dad could read that. I started reviewing CBD tea, and then I pitched to them about the sex toy reviews and thought, they're never going to go for this in a million years. And they only bloody did. Not only that, but actually they came to me and asked for three more additional articles after I wrote the original one.
You get to wank for a living. That's pretty good.
I got like paid to put CBD in parts of myself that I hadn't before, and getting like paid to review all these things. It's just bizarre, but
it's not stuff you expect to see on careers day at school, is it? It's not really.
They don't tell you this about journalism. They really, really don't. Even when I was training, I kind of thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to like report the news. Shit, I don't want to do that. But I was always really interested in like feature writing and investigations and things like that. So this, you know, everything I've done since is one of those two things.
And you can still apply a journalistic rigor to your masturbation and sex toy reviews. It's definitely a soft skill that can transfer. Yeah, definitely.
This is it. Like, I did the hard work so nobody else had to. Do you know what I mean? At this point, I was like, shit, I don't actually have that many sex toys. Like, you know, I mean, how many do we all realistically have? Like one, maybe two. And you have to get somewhere in between 8 and 14. That's the weird numbers that they were like, no, this is your range. And I remember putting a call out, would anybody mind sending some products? And I thought, Christ, if I get 5, I will be lucky. And I was not at all prepared for the absolute onslaught that arrived at my house. It was an avalanche of dick. It was just mind-blowing. Every single company, major company in the land, came back and said, yeah, we're interested. Okay, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, what you got? And I would get these boxes and I'm like, this is a giant box for one dildo. And I'd open it and there'd be 20 in there. And I'm going, shit, okay, I'm in trouble. I'm really in trouble here. And of course, at this point, I'm not always able to answer the front door. So the boxes are going to my neighbors, who are all lovely people. We do not know each other's names. We do not know jack shit about each other, which is, you know, the way things are supposed to be.
That's normal and natural. Yeah, anything else is weird. Yeah.
To not know anything about your neighbors. You don't want them knowing that you've got like, you know, 20 dildos coming from like some website in fucking Devon or somewhere like that.
They usually say, oh, it comes in discreet packaging.
Thank God for that. Yes, that was the only saving grace here, that all of these boxes arrived with no branding and no information. So I'd just be like, oh, yeah, thanks. And
I was expecting there to be like a shipping label that just said, sender, Big Giant Dildos Limited, or something like that. Or like they hand you a box and it's already vibrating as they hand it over because something's been triggered.
God, don't even, because genuinely my biggest fear was the already vibrating thing, because we had a situation at one point when we were driving to a festival to go and talk about my book and go and talk about dildos. And at one point we pulled over and we were going to go and get some like snacks and what have you. And there was like this weird noise coming from the car. We were driving like a 1997 Micra. So, you know, weird noises are pretty much a given. We were so close to like ringing roadside assistance, only for the fact that at the last minute I realized one of the dildos had gone off and it was just vibrating next to the window and wouldn't stop. So it does happen.
I also love the phrase, one of the dildos had gone off.
Oh, yeah, there was a bag of like 10 of them.
Amazing. For some reason, I would expect if one started, all the others would join in. Like, there's a ringleader. There's definitely one that's going to encourage the others.
I mean, ringleader is probably the wrong choice of words there, but there was definitely one that had ideas. And it was, thank God we didn't call anybody because it was very close.
I'm sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm still to this day incredibly thankful to all the companies that did get involved, because it was insane.
You've got a lifetime supply now.
Well, I'll tell you what I had to do, because genuinely at one point, like, the house was just, it was wild.
I'm imagining like rich people have those walk-in wardrobes with just row upon row of shoes that go like up to head height and that. I'm just imagining that, but with a variety of different implements.
I basically put a message in the group chat and said, help.
I'm drowning in dildos.
I'm drowning here. I've always wanted to like give things away to my friends and my family and like people that I know, and donate stuff. And you can't really donate dildos even if the box hasn't been opened.
They don't take them at the charity shops either.
Yeah, Sue Ryder is definitely not up for that. Basically, I just said to the lads, look, no questions asked. DM me, tell me what you're into, and I'll see if I've got anything in the box for you.
As so it very much were.
When I left the drug journalism and the shooting and all the mad shit that I'd been doing, I went into work in local news. And local news is possibly one of the most batshit environments I have ever worked in. Like, literally so many weird experiences that I loved it. Like, I absolutely loved it. You were so sort of public facing in that you were meeting people every single day. You know, the public could like click on your name and see all the things you'd written. You would be very in touch with the communities that you lived in. So like, it was very important to like keep my night job separate. So thankfully at that point I'd already changed my name, and you know, it wasn't as terrifying as it could have been. But
what dildos? Me? No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a coat rack.
Thankfully, I don't know how I managed to do it for like 2 years where I didn't get caught. It was insane. And I remember like sitting in a newsroom at one point and like a colleague talking about people that like review sex toys for a living. And I remember sitting there going, no one in this room has any idea what I do when I'm like not on the clock. And it was, yeah, it was just bizarre. It was like two completely parallel lives. And that's super fun. Like, it's really, really fun to have a secret. And I remember at one point my parents had come over from Ireland and we had been out for the day. My mum said at one point, right, oh, I just want to use the bathroom before we, you know, after we drop you off, if that's all right. I had a lodger at that point who is one of my best friends, and she was in the house with her partner. And I sent the most panicked message you have ever seen, going, hide the drugs, hide the dildos, she's coming in. And how she missed my friend's partner running up the stairs with just boxes in his arms is beyond me. Like, she knows that I've got a medical cannabis prescription, but, you know, I don't need her to see that. And I definitely don't need her to see my dildos of any description. So got away with it.
Yeah, they're not as easy to hide as people think. You can't just chuck something over it because people will notice.
Yeah, no, they will. And if you've got 70 of them, people can't fail to notice that your house is a literal den of sin. During that time, I remember like I was writing about the sort of terrible advice that you got from women's magazines back in the day, you know, like your More magazines or like Just 17, you know, where they would tell you to like do all this horrendous shit that was just not medically sound. I thought, right, okay, I'm going to take the advice of my youth from these publications. And I'm also going to look at like what these publications are now. So I bought Cosmopolitan for the first time in like God knows how many years. And I came across Enhance the UK, had a mention in there, and they are a disability charity that do all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things. They kind of aim to strip back the taboo of all things sex and disability as well. So I was reading this and I was like, wow, Cosmopolitan have really come on a bit since the terrifying old days. And I reached out to Enhance and started working with them, doing lots of sex writing and lots of talking about ADHD and sex and relationships, and lots of talking about queer ADHD, sex and relationships and what that looks like. Around this time as well, I sort of realized I am exhausted because it takes a lot of energy to hide who you are literally every day. And I was like, and to not tell people what you do for a living, and to have two completely separate jobs as well. There's a lot of management that goes into that. And I just got tired of like waiting for my mother to do that inevitable Google search of my name at some point and for her to like literally like fall through the floor. It started to have an effect on me both physically and mentally and socially as well, actually, because from a physical point of view, I looked exhausted.
Not surprised if you're spending every night wanking yourself senseless, then you've got to get up for a day job.
I was absolutely just wrecked. I started to see that I just looked physically ruined. And also, so socially, I found that I had no time. I just had no time. I couldn't go to events with my friends because I was constantly working or, you know, constantly doing other things. That sucks because a lot of the journalism that I was doing was going to events and going to Pride or all of these things. And I mean, I would be going to Pride socially anyway. So my argument was, well, if I'm going to be there anyway, I might as well. And it's an entirely different thing because you can't drink, you're running around the whole time trying to get the best shots, trying to get the best like quotes, you know, all of this stuff. And I couldn't keep it going. I just couldn't keep it going. I was wrecked, just wrecked. And I'm really glad now to have narrowed, because I think it's quite common for ADHD people to have multiple jobs because we operate at such a quick speed and we're always looking for that sort of like that new buzz of something exciting. But I have reduced my workload in terms of like I'm no longer doing the big secrecy stuff. You know, my employers are very aware of what I do and I don't have to hide anything. And that makes a huge difference. I feel so much better as a result of being able to be openly a sex writer and a sex positive person, you know?
Definitely. It's surprising. In the moment, it doesn't feel like a big thing. And then when you actually get to like let go of that stuff and anything that you have to do day to day that takes that much energy, you don't realize it after a while because we get used to anything. And then after 6 months or a year and it's all cumulative and it's building up and it's building up. And then eventually when you actually get to put it down and just not have to do it again, it's such a revelation how different things are and how much easier stuff is.
Yeah, it was a huge relief to be able to like close the laptop on a Friday and go, right, I'm going to walk away from this now. And it has a knock-on effect in not just the fact that I've got more energy and I look like myself again and I feel like myself again, got more time for my partner, I've got more time for my friends, I can communicate so much better. I'm not going to an event and then going, right, okay, got my photos, going to have to go, lads, I've got a file, and then running back going, okay, I'm off the clock now, I can have a pint.
You said no one clocked. Were there any times they got close?
I was so quiet about it, which is painful when you're a person with ADHD that, you know, I have no filter, I have no off button, no volume down, no none of that. So for me to not be able to talk about what I was doing in that sense, because it was so cool and it was so interesting and fascinating and fun. And then, you know, to not be able to talk about that was really, really, really difficult.
You're like the sex Batman, and your utility belt would just be various different dildos and lubes and things.
So I ended up joining Enhance as a trainer and a writer. So I've made this my day job now, which has been the absolute making of me, because I have been able to do things that I never thought possible. Like this summer, I joined Enhance at Shambhala Festival in Wilderness. I went to talk about neurodiversity and sex and relationships. So I got to take along like the props that had been, or I call them props now, this is the difference. Basically, the dildos that had been sent to me and the ones that were unused, I hasten to add, have now been granted a new lease of life in that they are props that I take in to show like, okay, this is what you can find out there. You know, there's what I call clit suckers, which is probably not the technical term for them, but
does what it says on the tin.
I mean, it literally does exactly what you think it would do. So why not call it a clit sucker?
And presumably it does it quite well if you've hung on to them and you're taking them places.
I mean, I had like six or seven of them in the stockpile of things I had been sent over the years, because even when I finished writing for The Independent, like, people were still sending me sex toys and still going, oh, hiya, we've just had this thing come out. Do you want to give it a whirl? I'm like, yeah, go on then. I've got not got anything on Friday. Fuck it, why not? So, you know, there is this absolute moment where, like, I'm in a tent at these festivals surrounded by people who have come to hear what we have to say and, like, come to listen to me talk. And I'm like, why are you, and I'm just, like, sitting on stage talking about my ADHD, which was, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, I wouldn't be the only person that's neurodivergent that has actual trauma around, like, you know, growing up as a neurodivergent person, particularly a queer, non-binary, I should add as well, neurodivergent person. So being able to talk about that, get a few laughs, get a few, like, you can see people nodding, they're enjoying it. And I'm just holding up these toys and getting to talk about it and say things like, fisting, anybody? No. Fisting.
Presumably to see if they've any stories about it rather than volunteers. But I mean,
we didn't want any volunteers coming forward, you know, and just to clarify that, we were happy with just talking about it. I also got to go back to Cork as well, which is the county that I come from, and go to, like, what is one of the biggest universities in the country, and, like, somewhere that I thought was very off limits for me as a creative queer person. I went to art college. I essentially spent 4 years, like, colouring my feelings, and somebody handed me a degree after basically doing performance art for, like, 4 years.
Good, so, isn't it?
I mean...
Better than a real job.
What a time to be alive. I got to do the exact same thing. And there was this moment where I had to say, I think, again, it was the word fisting. I don't know why it's such a, I keep coming back to that word, but I had to say that to a group of these students. It dawned on me that I am back where I grew up and I'm now able to say words like this. There's no shock. There's no terror. There's no, nobody fled the scene. No sirens, no fainting, no nuns, no religion. You know, it's come on a lot since I was based there. And it was just so freeing to be able to say, hello, you know, this is me. This is what I do for a living. Okay, let's have a big filthy chat, shall we?
With the testing of the different dildos and stuff, did it become a bit of a slog? If you're like, oh, God, just some nights you just want to get it done. But when you've got a deadline and you've got to have tried all 15 different devices and ranked them, presumably.
You do definitely start to reach a point where you're like, I just want a night off. I want a night off from getting off.
And I'm bored of this orgasm.
I'm bored of this now. But luckily, because, you know, they sort of say, oh, you know, no more than 14. I could kind of pick, right, okay, let's no more than 14, please. I would go through literally, right, okay, I did one on quiet vibrators. Okay, let's try and get, like, a broad range of loads of different things. So you have, like, your clit suckers, you have your insertion things, you have, like, anal vibrating things, whatever it might be. You just sort of, you just had to get through it. You were definitely very grateful to have a break from writing one article before you started the next. And whenever I finish a talk, I always say, right, I'm going to hang around for a bit afterwards and you can come meet me, come and buy a book or come and just have a chat. And I have been blown away by how many people just want to come up and say, oh my God, I'm autistic. I've got ADHD as well. I'm bipolar. I'm this. And I'm like, this is absolutely just, God, this is exactly the chat that I wish I could have had growing up. I didn't know anybody with ADHD for a very, very long period of time. So one thing that you have to get very good at being able to sort of think very, very quickly, because people will tell you their personal stories and their personal journeys and, like, ask you very in-depth questions. And, you know, I'm not medically trained. I never claimed to be a doctor or a psychologist or anything like that. And I'm quite open about that in literally, you know, page 2 of my book. I'm like, please, dear God, do not diagnose yourself or take my word as medical gospel.
I'm an enthusiastic amateur. Do not take my advice.
I'm just somebody who has had a lifetime of this. So, but, like, at the same time, please, God, just use any advice with caution. It can be quite challenging to think of how to talk to people, because some people, they've really reached a point where they are just like, they're dying to talk to somebody, anybody. They need that help. They can't get access to things. They're finding it really difficult to get the answers to what they need. So luckily, within my current job, they run a thing called the Love Lounge, which you can send in these sort of questions and have like experts answer your questions. So like occupational therapists, you know, all of those sort of people that actually do have the medical grounding. I used to be a sexual health outreach worker at one point as well, where I would go and talk about STDs, and I would be the person standing up in the front of students going, gloves. And, you know, and like, everybody, please, for the love of God, just wear a condom, please. And again, you would have those conversations with people. And I remember going to training where they were like, you are going to have people coming up to you and going, I've got this rash. And you are going to need to be able to say, not what it is, but you know, you're gonna need to talk to them and have those kind of conversations. As a journalist, people go into huge amounts of detail. I'm currently working on something at the moment, which is a history book of Nottingham's LGBT scene from 1960 to today. And the amount of like people that I spoke to that opened up about cottaging, cruising, threesomes, polyamory, all of these wonderful things that are like such a huge part of queer history and queer present. I've gotten so used to it that I'm just, it just absolutely washes over me at this point. Do you know what I mean? So like, no, I think I've reached a point where I'm unshockable.
See, that sounds like a challenge.
Another company sent in what has to be one of the biggest dildos that I have ever seen. Like, ever. See, it was huge. It was absolute beast of a thing. Like, it was an absolute weapon. And I was like, I can't even, like, there is no amount of lube and prayers that is going to get that thing anywhere. Like, just, you know. Thankfully the company had given me like a range to choose from. So I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to leave this over here and I'm just never going to look at it again.
Just pop it on a coffee table. Just make it a thing in your flat.
Actually, I did manage to find somebody who wanted it. So it has gone to a good home.
Good for them.
Yeah. You know what? Fair play to you. It's impressive.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's pay some bills. Let's sell some stuff because capitalism is king. What do you want people to know and buy and take away from our little chat?
Really like people to potentially consider, possibly please buying, is my first book, which is Neuroqueer, a neurodivergent guide to love, sex, and everything in between. So that looks at everything from like hyperactivity to hyperfocus to no focus to all of the things about how my ADHD interacts with my sex, love life, and relationships. And I aimed that solely at LGBT, trans and non-binary people, and women as well, actually, because we are traditionally left out of the conversations around ADHD. And our diagnoses are often missed as well. And there's very little to absolutely zero out there, particularly if you are a trans person who has ADHD, you'll know that there is very, very little out there. But you can also find me on all of the social medias as well under CJ DeBarra. And you can buy the book through most bookshops in the UK. So weirdly, like, it's been amazing watching all the bookshops pick it up over time. Like, so we're now like in places like Waterstones, Five Leaves in Nottingham, News from Nowhere in Liverpool. If you do not have it in your bookshop, you can walk in, demand, and stage a sit-in. I would really appreciate that if you did.
All of that will be in the show notes anyway, so you should be able to click on it if you just look on whatever you're listening to this or watching this on. Everything you need will be in the notes. As a result of being a spicy brain, queer, sex writing person, if you had one bit of advice to give to the world, to all 12 of my listeners, what would it be?
I think it would definitely be, don't fear the weird. and just lean into it. Just, you know what, like some of the best experiences that I've ever had have been through just embracing the absolute absurdity of everyday life and the weird and wonderful people that I've met along the way. That has opened so many doors for me and just enriched my life on just a personal level and a professional level. And honest to God, if I could do it all again, I would. No questions asked. But yeah, don't be afraid to say yes to what sounds like utter madness.
That was Probably True, the LGBTQ plus storytelling project created to remind all of our queer siblings that we are none of us alone. If you liked it, then join the Patreon or just tell all your friends. If you didn't like it, tell me. Come at me, bro.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.